Hot route! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the
ball?
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah! Between living and dying.
Yeah! I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water man jacket. Yeah! It's a party. It's a party. It's a party.
This is 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Roush here with Adam Luckett. Two losses in a row, buddy. What the hell's going on? What'd you do? This is all your fault.
I don't know. We found some bad juju somewhere we got to get rid of.
It must have been in the SEC water.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's not been too kind to the cat so far. I have a theory, one of which is the only times Kentucky have won is before they've done or after they've done the Free Money podcast. So there's that. The other theory that one of my friends have, he's only seen Kentucky win in Hawaii this year. So he might have to move.
Tell him
to
move back to the islands.
Yeah, he's just going to the islands. Going to be drinking a lot of Kuna Longboard.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you, Nick Roush.
Okay,
tell me the last time Kentucky's played well in Starkville.
The onside kick Jalen Whitlow game.
No, is that you talking about Stoops' first year?
Yeah, that was in Starkville. Yeah. That was the last time they played well.
So the worst team they've had in a long time played well there. But other than that, they haven't won there since 08. The year they won there was kind of a close game, went down to the wire. In 06, they needed a one-handed catch from Dickie Lyons to win down there. They just never
– I forgot about that
They
game.
Never play well down there for whatever reason. And I think we should have seen it coming. I'm kind of regretting looking back at all my prognostications last week.
Yeah.
I don't know what if it's something in the water. There's something just about the aura of Starkville. They just do not – they go down there and they – it seems like – all the games are in the middle of the afternoon,
yep.
And they just never play well.
But maybe we can deport Starkville from the SEC.
Well, kind of an institution at this point.
I agree to disagree. But it was very ugly. It was about as ugly as some of the games we got on Saturday. There were some wild ones, like blowing a 32-point lead in the third quarter and losing at home.
Throwing 9 touchdown passes and losing the game?
Yeah, like that. Or throwing a game-winning touchdown pass with 16 seconds left, but just not crossing the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do that, too.
Back to that Washington State-UCLA game. It's 1:32 in the morning at my house, and I am hysterically laughing out loud watching that game. Everybody else is sleeping. There's Adam just sitting on the couch.
Just saying, you had in-laws in, too, right?
I did.
So you were just wide awake, just mm-hmm. laughing at Washington State. And Mike
Leach. I could not pull my eyes away from the TV because I was flipping. I was writing my KSR post that goes up on Sunday, / watching the TV and just kind of bouncing back and forth.
I really like the game day final show that goes on where they at the very end of the night. It's mm-hmm. It's a good highlight.
Give out the helmet stickers.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was bouncing back watching Toledo. Bryant Kolbeck had a huge game. Ran
really?
For like 200 yards. Yeah, they were playing Colorado State. Toledo won, long story short. So just bouncing back and forth. And then I turn it off when they're down 32. And I'm not even kidding you. Within 10, 15 minutes, I look at my phone and it's like a two-possession game. So I'm like, uh-oh. So I flip it back on and I was locked in the whole way till the end. And it was mesmerizing to watch that unfold.
Man, you really think something in the water in Starkville? There's something in the water in Pullman.
Ain't no doubt about that.
Man, just a wild, wild game.
The fan shots of just like
shock and all.
Shock and just like, what? This is unbelievable.
And what's funny?
A lot of surrender cobras.
What's funny is that like Washington State kept on like they even UCLA was catching up, but they still scored like 28 right. points in the fourth quarter.
Washington State was scoring on like 80-yard wheel routes. UCLA would come down and score 2 minutes later. It was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of – like it goes to show you that no matter how good you can do certain things, football is a lot of blocking and tackling. You got to be able to do that. And they weren't really doing the latter. They weren't really tackling.
They don't call it Pac-12 after dark for nothing.
Yeah, pretty wild time. Other game, was there any other fun games? It was fun to watch Tennessee and Michigan get housed.
Right. Bo Nix.
Yeah, we had the dual screen at my house because I think the teams that my wife and I enjoy watching lose more than any other are Michigan for her. She likes Ohio State. And Tennessee for me. I love watching Tennessee suck. Tennessee, by the way, I mean, they're just like, oh, Garantano? No.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're done, buddy.
And then they put the backup in. Newsflash: the backup can't really play. so that only lasted a couple series. So
ooh, I got a good one.
And then Jeremy Pruitt, he's having some Butch Jones-isms now. He came out today and said this team is 100 times better than last year's team. We're getting better every day.
Jeremy Pruitt, buddy. He's trying. Bless his heart.
And then Chad Morris is
about
to get fired.
So I heard on another football podcast, it's pretty popular, but I'm not going to mention it. But actually, I'll mention it. The Shutdown Fullcast. Those guys are funny. And Jason Kirk, really good at finding obscure numbers. And he used some sort of database that like basically just like, here's all of the computer numbers in one thing. And basically, Arkansas is like the worst football team. It's the worst Arkansas football team since World War II.
He's 2-3 against Group of Five opponents in 2 years at Arkansas.
2-3. Mm-hmm. San Jose State has beaten two Power Five teams in 60 years.
Right. That's just one of those games. That's supposed to be a 30-point win. Get your reserves in. Get some freshmen.
Yeah, get some confidence
up
before Nick Starkel revenge game.
Right,
against Texas A&M. This
Saturday, yeah.
It's the Nick Starkel revenge game, and he threw five picks. Like, man, there. So that's why, I'm trying to do this thing now, Luckett, where I like kind of almost a column of sorts. You know, I'm no Rick Bozich by any means, but kind of something like that after the game, and the part that I didn't really fail to hit home quite as well in it because, you know, right after the game, you're still kind of fuming, you know. I'm trying to go see Daryl Hall croon, you know, sing some tunes. So, yeah. Like, and I'm really mad that they just got housed so badly against Mississippi State. But I didn't hit home the fact that, like, the second half of the schedule is even worse than we could have thought it was.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee is so bad. They're playing – who do they have this – actually, they're off this week, aren't they?
Tennessee has a bye, and then Georgia comes to town.
Yeah, so they're off this week. But Vanderbilt, they're going to play Northern Illinois.
Vanderbilt has given up 46 points per game.
46 points
now, they've played a lot now. They've played a lot of
LSU
good offenses.
LSU and Georgia.
And then Purdue.
Yeah.
It's good offense. So they're going to come up. But you
Vandy at least scores. But their defense can't tackle.
Right.
Yeah. And then Arkansas, like I said – one of the worst teams in all of football. And it's one thing to be like have a couple rankings that are near like 130, but this is like Louisville, like this is making Bobby Petrino look attractive. And Louisville was that bad with Bobby Petrino coaching him last year. They were probably worse though, right?
Yeah, I mean Louisville just totally quit there at the end. I mean they gave up what 50 points in like 4, 5, 6 straight games to end the season.
Yeah.
So Arkansas isn't on that level, but
on their
you look at this gauntlet they're about to go through.
Ooh, yeah.
They could get to that level.
Texas A&M this
don't
week.
The wagons.
I think they got Alabama or Kentucky, and then leads off Alabama and a lot of bad teams.
Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna get
LSU
rocked.
In November.
Yeah. They're gonna get rocked. So yeah, that's the good news from Saturday is that the teams Kentucky plays later on down the road still stink. In South Carolina, not very good either.
If you think Kentucky played bad on Saturday, go put on the South Carolina-Missouri tape. South Carolina stunk that joint up.
Hey, they had that one long touchdown, though.
I'm telling you, 7-3 and outs. A dry, first and goal inside the 5, pick 6.
Ooh.
Backed up inside their own 10, I believe, Ryan Holinsky drops back to pass.
Oh, my gosh, that
gets
play.
Gets batted at the line of scrimmage. And instead of – what he tried to do was knock it down, but instead of doing that, he caught it and essentially threw a basketball bounce pass.
Yes, backwards.
Backwards. And then Missouri – so Missouri got two defensive touchdowns. Now, South Carolina's defense, I thought, did some good things, especially their guys up front. They've got some good guys on the line of scrimmage. But their offense absolutely stunk to join up. And then – at Will Muschamp's press conference this week, we all saw the, you know, we want to win every week. I have pressure on me every week. We're going to kick Idol's ass.
Yeah, we're gonna beat Bye's ass.
But he also got multiple questions about would he consider an offensive coordinator change. So
already?
That, yeah, so that's swirling around.
Didn't he just
around,
change?
Right?
He changed this time last year, right?
That guy took over for the bowl game when they beat Michigan 2 years ago. Ryan McClendon.
Oh, okay,
he's young. Okay. He's like 34, 35 years old. Played receiver at Georgia. Was an assistant for Rick at Georgia. So, yeah, they're facing that right now. So, I mean, it's ugly for them on offense. They've got talent. I mean, Muschamp's recruited really, really well there. It's just the developing that talent and finding, like
– Brian Edwards is pretty good.
He is.
Pretty good receiver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, he is. But they don't have an identity because Muschamp's a defensive coach that's out here. Their offense is first in pace in the SEC. Well, it's terrible. It's terrible because he's not playing to the defense. He's trying to score. Like, I really don't understand what he's trying to do. And I said that when they said they were going to go to that. I thought it was all a bunch of smoke. But then last year we saw them come out and go 100 miles an hour, and I was like, well, that's not going
to
work.
Trying to do it with Jake Bentley too. Which here's the thing. We all know well I like to give Jake Bentley hell, but I'm going to miss him this Saturday. I wanted to see him out there. Just one last hurrah. One more for the Gipper. But Jake Bentley could be a fine quarterback if you didn't make him do everything and just say, okay, let's go.
The biggest issue for South Carolina in that Muschamp era has been OL play and finding a running back, or establishing a run game in general.
Yes, Kavasi Smoke has more rushing yards than – they have three senior running backs. Dowdle, who's been starting forever, who's just not good. And then they finally feast Tevi and Feaster from Clemson. Grad transfer.
Top 30 recruit out of high school.
Yeah, like I think he's pretty good, but they don't give him the ball that much.
Right. Well, they – for some reason, last 2 weeks, they've abandoned the run because they played Alabama –
they get behind,
And then Missouri
many,
just
threw,
totally
what,
throttled their run game.
Holinsky threw like 50 passes against Alabama.
57.
He was 57 passes.
Now, he threw for 300 something yards, but he was averaging like 5.6 an attempt, which is very bad.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of passes to get those yards. But they just totally abandoned the run game, and then Muschamp comes out today, or not today, this week, in the press conference and says, you know, makes an emphasis about we need to run the football. So I think you're going to come out and see.
So take the under, because that's what Mark Stoops said too.
Right. So I think you could see an old school type football game on Saturday. Especially Kentucky doesn't have the only quarterback that's banged up in this game. Going into Missouri, Ryan Holinsky had a sore, banged up elbow. He took a lot of hits. He did something to his chest, did something to his ankle. So he's kind of walking wounded too. And we know Sawyer Smith's issues.
I'm at least kind of like, there was a time, especially on Sunday, that I thought, ooh, maybe Sawyer, maybe we've got a Tommy Stevens issue where he's going to go out there. Like he won't be able to practice much this week, and then he'll go out there in the second half and try to throw some around, but his just arm's not going to be there. And then you're kind of stuck with a lame duck. Mm-hmm. I was worried about that, but. I've heard nothing but optimism so far.
That's good.
So that's
Eddie
good
Grant seemed very confident at the press conference or the media session yesterday.
Yeah. And maybe
not just on Sawyer, just of their game plan in general going into this game.
See, and I think some of it is because of what South Carolina is. South Carolina, we didn't mention they lost their best safety, right?
One of their best. They're kind of rotating in there. They play a bunch of guys. Jam Williams was a top 100 recruit.
All SEC freshman a year ago.
Yeah, was the highest rated recruit in Muschamp's first class.
That's pretty, yeah.
So he was like a top 100 prospect.
He was their star guy, and he left in the transfer week.
Get the four games and get out.
By the way, man, you're like Houston acting like that Derek King and the other kid aren't going to transfer is just hogwash. Those kids are transferring, but like they just want it to appear like.
Well, it keeps the media away from asking those questions because you can just say they're still in school, they're not in the transfer portal, leave them alone.
Yeah.
And our season's moving on, but at the end of the day, they're both transferring.
Yeah,
it's just a PR smoke is what they're giving everybody right now. But
I love the Louisville fans who are like, "Hey, come here." Yeah, we got a Chuba guy, is it Bubba or Chuba?
I thought it's Chuba, but is it Chuba or Chuba?
Purdy, Chuba Purdy.
Yeah, it's Chuba.
Is it actually Chuba?
It'd be better if it's Chuba.
Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga ooga. But they're like, "Hey, come over here, Derek King. You can be great in Scott's Tots."
They could have a Puma,
a Chuba,
and a Derek.
Oh man! Which, by the way, I actually went through some of the participation chart today. Luckett, I'm gonna do a post that'll probably be up by the time this podcast is out. And I think pretty much every freshman's gonna redshirt except for Dodson, depending on his health.
Right.
Like the.
Well, so, I mean, a lot of that I think depth wise is gonna depend if injury bug hits somewhere.
But they're saving.
I think that's probably the plan.
They're pretty much saving every single person that they can. As of right now, Dodson is likely not going to. He's played in the first three before he got hurt. But the others,
but we also don't know how serious Dodson's injury is either.
That's true. They were very ambiguous about it. But so DeMarcus Harris, he played the first two games, not the SEC one. So they're probably maybe we just kind of wait and see what things happen here.
Especially if Epps comes back.
Yeah, potential. I feel like that's a red shirt watch to keep an eye out too.
Right.
Trey Wilkins just played in one game.
Yeah, played the first game.
I doubt they're going to throw him out there anymore unless they feel like they need to. Devonshire is one that I think is the most intriguing of them all, just from Stoop said he had to have wrist surgery, and so they're going to put a cast on it. But, are you going to burn a kid's red shirt while he's got a cast on if you don't need to?
Right.
So, I don't know. And to be clear, he's in a Cash Daniel, Jordan Jones 2018 situation where he could play through the pain, but do you want to do that to a kid who's a true freshman?
Yeah, for him, I think if there was an injury that where there one of those corners was going to be out a substantial amount of time, that they would have to get him. I think he's the next guy in line.
Yeah, definitely. But as of right now, I think biggest star from Saturday. So let's get into the Mississippi State game a little bit. The biggest star from Saturday, Brandon Echols, was the man with the plan.
He's played well.
10 tackles, 9 of them were solo. He had the strip sack that was incredibly impressive.
Big play.
And Kentucky needed it badly because Mississippi State was driving. That was the first possession, correct?
Yeah, they were in the red zone.
Yeah.
Red zone turnover. With the way Kentucky's defense is built right now, it's bend but don't break, give up yards, get timely stops. So what's big on that is third down, which they've been awful in.
Very bad.
But red zone stops, too. It was good to see them get a big red zone stop, too. They built a little bit of momentum before halftime. Mississippi State drives down to get some momentum back in your favor. And if a couple things
with
go
Mosley,
away in the second half.
Both the JUCO kids.
Right, we would have looked back at that play saying that might have been the swing that got Kentucky over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, offense has more blunders.
Right. Well, so I think a question that hurt a lot, and we'll hear a lot, especially with the way that South Carolina operates with Ryan Helinski, is the underneath routes. If you're going to scheme up against Kentucky, what do? You just throw underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Does Kentucky need to change dramatically what they're doing? Or is holding Mississippi State to 21 points on defense good enough to win a football game?
On a surface level, the defense did their job because they kept State out of the end zone for two times for pretty much 58 minutes. They only let them score twice in 58. Their defense did.
Yeah.
But they're giving up way too many yards. Kentucky's playing behind the eight ball in the field position game because every time State was punting, it was around the 50.
Yeah, they were inside the 10.
Twice State had drives going that they needed turnovers to stop those drives.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't get those turnovers, those are field goals at the worst, more than likely. So they have, but that all comes down to third down because they're doing a great job forcing turnovers. Mm-hmm. They force two in each game.
They're stopping the run pretty well on first down.
Traditional run game defense has been really good, I think.
Yeah, but Schrader popped off two huge runs.
But the QB
that set up touchdowns.
The QB run game really hurt them, but it hurt them against Toledo too. Mitchell Gondani had a big game running the ball, so that's something they have to get fixed. But I think. We just need to be ready for that. This pass coverage is just going to be very, very soft because of lack of experience they have out there. What they need is the strength to be the strength.
Oh, there it is.
And they need the pass rush to step their game up.
It's got to get better, man. When you dial up a cornerback blitz and it's right there, hit him in the numbers, Jamari Brown.
Or just hold on until the cavalry gets there.
Exactly. Like that. Man, so we had this play in high school, saw blitz. And I hated it because it was like the one time that I had to cover the flats. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pass rusher guy. I don't like covering the flats. I want to rush the passer. But, my God, every time we called it, the wheel came in screaming behind me, and he had a blindside hit on the quarterback. And you know what? It was still a coin toss every single time because he would pin his ears back. He wouldn't break down. And what happens? Antonio Andrews, the guy who almost breaks Barry Sanders' single-season all-purpose yards record at Western Kentucky, makes one move, and then off to the races. Mm-hmm. And then there my dumbass is running down the field on the front page of the sports section chasing Antonio Andrews. It did not go well for me. And this is the same exact scenario where I think a lot of what happened on Saturday is the coaches can't do the players' jobs for them. And that's a perfect blitz. Just break down. Like you said, wait till the cavalry gets there. I know you're anxious, Jamari Brown. It's the first
freshman
clear shot.
Moment.
First clear shot you've ever got, but man, that was killer because there were a couple plays like that, Luckett, where, you know, TJ Carter sliding off of him. Because he's probably their best pressure guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, him or Calvin Taylor. I think Calvin Taylor's doing some good things inside. Really, the best thing they've gotten is kept inside push from Taylor McCall. Like, that's their most
their best way to consistent. move the pocket.
Yes, to affect the throwing lanes, to affect the pocket.
Edge has been bad. It's just not been good.
And I think we're getting really close. They're just going to have to throw Xavier Peters out there and just see what he's got.
I just realized today when Stoops said that SEC teleconference quote that he hasn't even been on the two deep.
Yeah.
Which,
they've got Wright and Pascal right there.
They do, which I don't understand. He was playing Sam. Just let him be Sam. Like, I don't – because that's, I think, the part that's been most frustrating is Boogie Watson has not been he needs to be.
Yeah, that, and they've had to use Boogie in coverage more than they probably wanted to. When Florida, when they had all those secondary injuries, he was pretty much playing like a nickel.
And then you put Jordan Wright in there, and he's good, but he makes mistakes.
Yeah, Jordan Wright's had some moments, but – and I thought at times he's played well, but he's a young player. He's not a freshman. He's a sophomore. He's just kind of a roller coaster.
Right, right.
But Boogie Watson was supposed to be, you know, that guy that I thought could be that edge rusher, and he just hasn't been it yet. Saw Stoops really kind of challenge him. Not really come out and say it, but pretty much said it.
And it was one of those two where, like, I think he was glad I brought it up in that Monday press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, we don't like to single guys out. But, and he's done it a couple times. And the most infamous one, do you remember his most infamous? It was the first time I ever remember him calling anybody out. Do you remember this when he just put somebody completely on blast as a member of the secondary? Probably 2016, 2015.
I don't know. Go
ahead. J.D. Harmon. He gives some people a scholarship, and then they go out there and just quit doing their job.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You say that.
Because to his credit, he's going to handle it in-house, but – there are times when you got to put pressure on people, and I think that's got to be Boogie this week because you can't let these backups get comfortable. It's 2 weeks in a row, and the backups have been way too comfortable in the pocket.
The one thing about Holinsky, though, is he's a statue kind of passer.
Oh, so he's just going to
– it's not really a moving – like when they get off on the snap, that target's staying there.
It's Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Just standing there in the pocket.
But he's getting that ball. He's getting rid of the ball pretty fast. And a lot of that's by design. Because they know what he is back there. They don't want him taking
big drop
shots.
And, yeah.
So
I can't afford to keep have him take any shots.
That's something to keep an eye on. So the quick passing game, you're going to see screens, you're going to see hitches. So coming up and tackling for the secondary is going to be important this week. We'll limit yards after catch. But back to the Mississippi State game, the red zone issues. Really, when you look at Kentucky, it's red zone offense and third down defense. Now, third down offense was putrid against Mississippi State, 1-for-12.
It had been good up until that point.
Right, but we'll let that – hopefully that's just a one-game scenario. But the red zone issues, we've gotten – you're getting drop passes, missed field goals.
Yep.
Just all different types of issues. You had Keaton Upshaw on a great play, wide open in the end zone.
You throw Sawyer it off Smith the throws crossbar.
Throws it through the goalpost.
And it's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have to figure that out.
Because and the thing is during that game Saturday, there was a lot of people screaming at their TV, throw it up to Maude Wagner, which I was one of them too. But then you just see that.
Yeah, they went to that well a little too much.
Yeah, the safety's just coming over. And then.
Well, Cameron Dantzler is a really good corner, and he was on Wagner most of the time. He's the guy that made most of those plays.
And, I mean, he forced Wagner to make an inside release on one of them too. That is what Charles pointed out the other day. It's supposed to be to get wide, and it's not going to work if he's going inside. But
then it comes down to sometimes. Where's the slant at? If he's going to give you that, take what the defense is going to give you.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I think, a wrinkle you probably see moving forward.
And that's something that I think happens when your quarterback's a little bit more comfortable with the offense. And that's what Eddie Graham really hit home. I think that was why he was confident on Tuesday, Luckett, because they had some design plays where it was, this guy's going to, like Josh Alvey, he was wide open on that play where they had Wagner run a go, Bowden run a screen, and it took up five guys.
Yeah.
And if the ball is a little bit farther away from the sideline, Alvey's just running. He's just got nothing but green grass in front of him. And then the double post route. There was a couple there, but I think Sawyer, he tightened up and just started force feeding Bowden. Because it's early on, and he's probably getting a little bit more in the well. They went to Bowden. He's a great receiver, but you've got other good receivers out there.
Sawyer Smith's made two starts. Bolden's got 15 targets in each game.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Did you hear he had 70 snaps, too?
Yeah.
That's just gross amount of snaps.
That's a lot. So, what happened was he throws pick six first drive. So, obviously, he tightens up a little bit. Therefore, Kentucky never puts any game pressure on Mississippi State. They're kind of in cruise control the whole game. So they were able to play relaxed most of the day, where Kentucky was the one stressing for the 60 minutes and straining, trying to get back in the football game.
It's hard to play from behind with a backup quarterback on the road in the SEC. It just is.
Right. And then Kentucky, if they finish in the red zone, that game all of a sudden is like a lot closer. Instead, it really felt like they never threatened Mississippi State because of all those points they left on the field. Because of, you know, whatever. Miss field goal, some spotty play calling, maybe not sticking with the run enough in the red zone, missing receivers dropping passes. So just a lot. I mean, it's a system. It's not just one thing you can point to. I think it's a lot going on there, and they just got to figure out what they're good at down there.
Yeah.
And what's going to be our go-to down here? Is it going to be throwing it to, you know, I think they tried to be throwing it to Wagner, and it just didn't work against Mississippi State. If they take Wagner away, what's your second option? Is it going to be running the ball? Who's the running back? I still don't think they know who they want to finish drives. They're still trying to fill that out. And, you know, what helps in a situation like this is QB run game. And you don't really, that's where you miss Terry, because you don't have that. Because that's where that's most beneficial, is in, you know, kind of short to medium yardage. And in the red zone when passing game is limited. So it's just finding the options. I don't really know what it is, but they have to figure it out.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question right now. Because Kentucky is, I mean, if you just look.
Having a kicker make kicks, too, will help relieve a lot of those issues.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. If you take out just the final Mississippi State drive where, you know, they get eight. I mean, they still only had 30 less total yards than Mississippi State. They were moving the ball up and down the field, and then they just finished in drives without points.
They had about 12 more plays. Mississippi State was averaging more yards per play, but not by much until that last drive.
Right.
And then I mean, I wrote about it earlier this week. Kentucky has a good play call. DeAndre Squires does what you cannot do in that situation. He gets turned sideways.
Oh, yeah.
If he stays square, it's a run stuff. It's a one-yard gain at most. Or he bounces it out, and then you got defenders to the outside. He's not going anywhere. And you have a perfect play call, and you're going to get the ball back. And for the first time in the game, Mississippi State is going to be playing with game pressure because it's a one-possession game, and they have to get a stop to win the game. They didn't put any game pressure on Mississippi State the entire game, and that was the most disappointing thing for me because I don't know if you saw some of Moorhead's reactions on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
When they scored that touchdown, he's going up, giving all the players a high-five, and ran over the bench, yelling at them all, pumping them up. And then they did that SEC Inside show where they go, like, behind the scenes.
Yeah, oh, he was living on a prayer.
Right, and then after the game, he was just giving this impassioned speech, you know, really just saying how big that win was and how proud he was of all y'all bouncing back and how we're going to have a good damn season.
Yeah.
And so that there was pressure, there was legit pressure on them to perform in that game, and Kentucky just never used that to their advantage.
Well, and as you pointed out on this podcast, people knew going into it, hey, he might play those suspended players, mm-hmm. and one of them gets a pick six on the fourth play of the game. Now, his dumbass did get ejected before the end of the first half, but still.
Imagine being suspended for the first three games.
And then
you come back, you make a big difference, and then 10, 15 plays later, you're gone.
God, what an idiot. Like, oh, and that's what you get for trash-talking Logan Stenberg. Which, by the way, Eddie Grand had a, like, they...
I love when he said multiple people have...
Yes. So, like, they have... there has been... They did the rolling thing, which I'm sure, you know what I'm talking about, where you roll the field.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was involved with it. And if, for those who don't know at home, players will get on the goal line, and they will have to lay down on their backs and roll 100 yards.
It's hell.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, when you're just watching them do it, you're like, why are they complaining? Like, just do that for three or four times and just feel how dizzy you are. Okay, do that for the length of a football field. So I'm sure that was involved. I'm sure there was some running involved. I'm sure there was a lot of just like, all right, this has got to stop.
Cut the crap, yeah.
It hasn't been entirely crippling, but like, you know, they had A.J. Rose has a nice first down run. They get a holding penalty, first and 20. Now, luckily, he was feeling himself and had like a 23-yard run, but this offense they can't afford to be breaking in this new quarterback and shooting themselves in the foot like they've been doing.
Right. Kentucky has a chance to be really good offense, but they're not good enough to overcome a lot of the mistakes they're making.
Well, especially because here's what the wildest thing is, and I know people don't like when coaches say, like, well, if they do this, then it's perfect. Well, the field goals, obviously, but those three big touchdowns that they dropped, like, are we even talking about their struggles if they catch some of those? If Lynn Bowden just gets – if he can – there was a tough catch that he got one hand on. But, like, are we even talking about any of this stuff if they connect on some of those explosives?
And he needs to make that catch, but – he also had a catch at the two.
Oh, that was just in his red basket.
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
And then Wagner, the ball gets batted around a little bit, but it hits him right there.
Yeah.
You know, falling down. You pull it in, touch them. So, you know, you got your QB2 in. You got your player, your big guys on the outside have to make plays for him, have to help your quarterback out. And they just didn't help him out, especially after the bad start he got off to. And, you know, he was kind of, I think you could see Sawyer was pushing some stuff, forcing the issue. But it was good to see A.J. Rose bounce back.
Yes.
It was good to see him show some wiggle, show some burst, look like the back we saw at times last year.
Yeah, he really did. He got his groove back. And he said that he was tiptoeing through the line early on. I don't know if that was the case, but maybe there was some sort of pressure, you know, that he was feeling where he just wasn't doing – he just wasn't playing his kind of ball. Grand believes that it's more of a just like, well, it's whoever's back there. They're just the cards they're dealt. You know, sometimes the plays open up for him, sometimes they don't. Which I'm curious. Like, he really wants to get Chris Rodriguez in there. How do you take away carries from guys if you're not going to run it? You know, 40 times. Like, how do you pick and choose?
That's hard. I think you have to ride with a hot hand. And like you said, it's like the cards you're dealt, Grant says. Like Kvasie Smoke only averaged 3 yards per carry in this game after everybody clamored for him.
Right.
Where Rose had multiple like 20-yard runs and made guys miss in the hole. So I think it's just a running back by committee approach. You just got to find, you know, the system that works for you. Some of it's going to be matchups dependent. Some of it's going to be, you know, maybe adjusting play calling. I don't know. But I think you're going to get to where they're going to start running the ball more at the end of the day.
So I think
with Sawyer banged up, you can't really ask him to throw more than 20, 25 times a game.
Right, right.
And without a quarterback run threat, and of course you're going to have the Bolden Wildcat staple, so you can get some.
You'll probably get more of that this week.
You can get some jet sweeps involved, stuff like that, to maybe give some receivers some
big fan
unorthodox touches. But you know you're going to need to run the ball, and we and Kentucky doesn't have a 25 carry freight train that can just take the hits and roll on. It's going to have to be like a 18-14-8 type split.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I didn't mean to do that, but I added up to 40.
which I think would work perfectly. And one thing I didn't realize until somebody asked about it in Muschamp's press conference, then, which made me ask Smoke, was that South Carolina recruited him.
Right. I didn't even know that. I knew
they were on his list. But so here's the thing, Luckett. Smoke was giving his like, the way he was telling the story, you could tell it had been a few years, so the details were a little shaky. But, so here's the thing. Wetumpka, where he played high school ball, is an hour west of Opelika, which is basically the Hoover of Auburn.
Wetumpka is right out of Montgomery, and Montgomery's the biggest city closest to Auburn.
Yes, mm-hmm. And Opelika, where Bentley's from, he played there while his dad was a quality control guy for Gus Malzahn at Auburn.
Right.
Fast forward. Muschamp hires Bobby Bentley, Jake's dad, and gets Jake to enroll as a senior. He graduates high school a year early and right. then ends up playing halfway through the year. So at some point, I'm not sure if it was when Bentley was at Auburn or if when they were at South Carolina, because he had offers from both. At least how the offer game's real weird. But what happened is he got offered by South Carolina, and his quote was, "I want to make them regret not taking me." So it leads me to believe that they
a committable offer.
Exactly. They did the thing where here's a scholarship offer, and then when it came down to crunch time, because Smoke was a late commit.
Right. And he was past the early signing day.
Yes. So when it came down to it, then it was like, sorry, but we can't have you.
I think Smoke, if I remember his recruitment correctly, he really, 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 really wanted to go to Auburn. And I think Auburn kind of said, you know, said they were interested in him, but it was going to be a while before they.
It'd be crowded. It'd be very crowded.
Yeah, so I think he waited for that, and then it came a time where Kentucky could get him, and Kentucky ended up getting him. I think it came down to Kentucky and North Carolina. But yeah, hopefully you see a motivated Kvasie Smoke. It could be a big game for him because we know they're getting the touches this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to that game plan, I think Will Muschamp said this in his press conference, and I agree with him. Third down is huge this week.
Yeah.
Because he's fully expecting Kentucky to come out and just hammer the rock and try to eat up clock. And he says, third down's important in every game, but it's really important when you play Kentucky because if you don't get them off the field on third down, it just really, really limits your chances and shrinks the game. And then, you know, red zone again. South Carolina's defense has been really good in the red zone. Kentucky's offense has been really bad. So how do they, match up together? And like I just mentioned earlier, game pressure. There's a lot of pressure on Will Muschamp mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, yeah. Visit
any South Carolina message board, and you won't have to look hard to find it.
Or their call-in, that call-in show is like, why does God hate South Carolina? I love that. That just inject that directly into my veins.
And then I've went on some South Carolina newspapers this week, and everything they write is just kind of, you know, woe is me. A 6-year senior, Danelle Stanley, starts at center for Carolina. They asked him what it would mean to finally beat Kentucky in his career. And they're like, this is what it has come to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is like the dark cloud hanging over this program. Until they beat Kentucky, they're going to kind of be stuck. And so now this game has lost a little bit of luster because of their bad start.
Right.
Like 2 years ago when Kentucky went down there.
It was blackout.
They were all in. They were ready to go. They were all in.
It was their big season. Muschamp.
They thought they were going to blow Kentucky out of the water.
And then they got there. For a second, I was having some deja vu because of the way that I thought it was going to be like that South Carolina game, the way the Mississippi State game started, because back in that game, Steven Johnson throws an early interception, Farrell Cooper houses it next play. Kentucky.
Debo. Farrell was.
Debo. Farrell was older. Yeah. 2 years ago. Oh.
Close enough.
I get my good, same talented South Carolina receivers that underachieve because of bad coaching. Confused. Sorry. But Kentucky moved the ball really well the drive after. And what makes me think? Like, they're really good at scripting and scheming up against these defenses. It's what happens after it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's getting those early touchdowns and getting a lead so that you can possess the ball for long periods of time.
And in-game adjustments are harder when you've got your backup quarterback in there, especially when you've only been coaching him for 2 months. So
yeah, I think we really did underestimate the value in how well the coordinator knows his signal caller. Just having like, okay, I know he can make these throws, that kind of thing. Like there's something about that. It's immeasurable. It's like, hey, but I think that. Him knowing I can put him in this situation, I know he's going to be able to make that throw. He could do that with Terry. He had a year to figure it out, and we saw it last year. Texas A&M game was what, 6 games in the season? The 7th game in the season. They had already won 6, and he still hadn't really figured out the best situations to put right. Terry in.
In any college football season, you're going to play 4 or 5 road games. In one of those games, at least, you're going to drop an absolute dud.
Yeah.
Maybe on a couple games, the offense will drop a dud while defense plays well. Where another game, the offense will play well while the defense drops a dud. And occasionally there'll be a game, a la Tennessee last year, where both sides drop a dud.
Yes.
You have to hope that was the offense's dud.
Yep.
Hope that was the defense's dud, too. Get it out of the way. The mm-hmm. good thing is Kentucky only has 4 road trips this year.
Yeah.
And one of them is to a Vandy team that right now they would be a double-digit road favorite.
It's going
to
be a fun game. Like, I'm wondering if KSR will let me just drink their beer. We can try to LSU it.
Yeah.
Just see if we can drink them dry. I think Kentucky fans
could do it. It could happen. It could happen.
I think Kentucky fans could do it.
Like, are you issuing a challenge to the Big Blue Nation?
Is that...
We got a while to that game.
So here's the thing. I don't know what my liability is in that case. But if you were – I'm saying it wouldn't be a bad idea. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
But keep that in mind. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just hope that was a dud.
Yes.
And let's hope that was a learning experience.
Get the dud out of the way.
A hangover game and that they bounce back. They're going somewhere where they play well. They play well every time under Mark Stoops in here. 2013, mm-hmm. they almost beat a great South Carolina team. With a 2-10 Kentucky squad, only lost by a touchdown.
That was in Columbia?
Mm-hmm. That was Stoops' only loss to South Carolina. It's 2013.
Are you sure?
Positive. Jalen Whitlow was at quarterback.
That was a home game because that was on my
2014 was a home game. Blackout.
With Will? No. I'm thinking of 2012 with Whitlow.
Yeah,
we were terrible. It's my 21st birthday. Is why I remember that game.
Right.
And I was like, it was one of the only games I miss. Because I was busy tailgating and having a great time. And I was like, wait, they're actually playing close? What the hell is going on here?
Right.
Yeah, they actually kept it close for a while. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's what's fun about this game, though, is there really has become a rivalry of sorts. And at least amongst the fan bases, I don't know. Like, when we were asking Charles and them, like, do you think these guys really hate South Carolina? I know some of them, like, Bowden said at SEC Media Days he had it circled. But, like, others, they haven't lost to them, so how can they hate them that much? You know, you really hate the teams that beat you?
I think that what you're getting at is probably more in the coaches' rooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of... In college football today, it's hard for a defense coordinator to get a coaching job.
Very hard.
And then you see Will Muschamp, who screws the pooch at Florida.
Got a just on the golden platter, handed to him, and he couldn't
goes
do
to
anything.
Auburn as a defensive coordinator.
Wasn't good.
Yeah, like you're stealing my thunder there. Wasn't that good? And then gets the South Carolina job, And then you've got guys that like a Mark Stoops, who was a defensive coordinator and was in his brother's shadow, had to go be a defensive coordinator for his brother, and then had to go be a defensive coordinator, then went at Florida State and did a great job building that defense up, but has to take a job, like, because he's about to turn 50. It's like, I got to make a move now, so I'm going to take this, you know. I'm sure when Mark Stoops started out 25 years ago, his first, when he thought he would get a head coaching job off of being like a blue blood defense coordinator, he probably thought
it'd be bigger than Kentucky.
Yeah.
Instead, Muschamp gets Florida, and who was his quarterback there? He had a decent quarterback, right?
Jeff Driskel.
Yeah, who's pretty
sticking around in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Jacoby Brissett was also on that team. He's starting for the Colts.
Yeah, and then Muschamp goes to South Carolina. The roster he has, not exactly what Mark Stoops got. He had Farrell Cooper. He had Spurrier leftovers, and then went and got a blue chip quarterback in like his first class, Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
Or did he inherit Bentley?
The thing about the thing with Muschamp's tenure was that first South Carolina team was supposed to be bad because it was kind of a roster in flux.
Mm-hmm.
The upperclassman talent wasn't really there, but he kind of scraped it together and got that team to 6 wins in a bowl game, and then Bentley emerged late in the year. They beat Tennessee at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, whoa, now they got a star. And then the hype train with him just got out of control for those next 2 seasons. And now it's gone in a whole opposite direction.
Yeah.
So now he's trying to stop a train running downhill.
It's going off the tracks.
But he has an $18 million buyout.
Very big buyout.
South Carolina just opened a brand new practice facility, football facility.
My brother installed the signs on that facility, yeah.
He could probably tell you how nice it is.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And then they have renovations coming to their stadium after this season. So they've got a lot of money invested right now. I don't think Will Muschamp is going anywhere. I think when we have 11 personnel this time next year, when South Carolina is coming to Lexington,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be talking about Will Muschamp's hot seat.
Oh, so he's sticking around. He's
sticking around.
Even through because here's the thing, like it. If they don't beat Kentucky, they're 3-9.
Yeah, 3-9. If they don't win this game, the ceiling is 4-8. the
ceiling is the floor,
because Appalachian State just won at North Carolina.
Yeah, they're no joke.
They play at South Carolina in November.
That's supposed
to
be their
floor
easy
is 1-11 if they lose this game.
Oh, God, that'd be glorious. I'd love it. And you know what my favorite part about it all is?
Now, if he goes 1-11, he might be getting fired. But I don't know how you bring that. But now, I don't think he's getting fired.
My favorite part about all this, like it, is that South Carolina fans think that, like, they can't get over that fact that Clemson's better than them. Because for most of their history, Clemson, they've been kind of even, where South Carolina's had its good years, but they've never been
Clemson's had more history, and they've had you know, both those teams were in the ACC, and Clemson had more success than South Carolina did.
Yeah, but as far, like, I mean, but Burns was a Heisman Trophy winner, you know, like, so, but they've been on a pretty level playing field, and now Clemson is just steamrolling college football, right, and they can't handle it. They just don't know how to handle it.
Right. Clemson kind of couldn't get out of their own way there for a while in, like, the Tommy Bowden era, and South Carolina hired 2 national championship winning coaches back-to-back, Lou Holtz.
Yep.
And Steve Spurrier. And before that, they were kind of a doormat in the ACC and their first few years in the SEC. So they had, like, in that time, they had about a 2-decade run where they were really competent. They were in the top 25 most years, or at least in it for part of the season. And then Spurrier put it together for 3 years. Now, I think we look back at his time there, I think we hype it up a little too much because of his name. He had 3 really, really good teams.
10 wins back to back to back. I'll tell you all about
11 wins. And that was great. But other than that, they were kind of just a 7-5 program.
Yeah.
So they talk about, like, how they talk a big game for not having much
in the
trophy case. So their expectations are a little out of whack.
They really are.
And that's why I think it bothers them so much, because they see themselves so much higher as Kentucky, when in reality, they may be above Kentucky, but they're probably in the same tier, if you're going to tier SEC teams.
Yeah.
They're closer to Kentucky than they are Georgia.
So what do you think happens on Saturday, Luckett?
I have no idea.
We're going to talk about the slate, but it really might be the best game on the slate.
The slate stinks out loud.
It's so bad. It is hot. Hot and nasty cafeteria food that is like burnt on the bottom too. It's like the tray is kind of burnt, and you're getting like some of that crust in there. It's disgusting. It's gross. And when you look at the, but when you look at like the SEC, some of the lines in there, this is the only one I'm not like, I have no idea. Like it could, it could be like Kentucky could blow them out.
Right.
I could see South Carolina blowing Kentucky out. I could see it being a close win for either side. I really don't. No idea.
I'll say this about the slate. I'm going to try not to say anything else bad about it, because come June 1st, I will be
itching just
for something like this.
You'll be watching, Mississippi State Auburn.
The season is such a sprint. It ain't a marathon. College football season is a daggone full-out sprint. So we have to enjoy it while it's here.
Okay, so we're going to play our favorite game?
What's that?
Did CBS get it right?
They got the last two right. Those are two great football games.
Yes, and Bo Nix, man, and Bo we trust.
Right. And then, you know, this week, they're going to Tuscaloosa.
Oh, gosh.
I think Alabama's laying 37.5 right now. Against Ole Miss.
Yeah, it got up to 38.
38?
Yeah.
So the answer is no. They can't get that one right.
And the thing is they haven't had Bama yet, though, right? Or no, they opened with South Carolina. I don't know why they're going back there, because, Hugh Freeze ain't walking through that door. He's not rolling through that door in a wheelchair or a hospital bed either. But at least Auburn, Mississippi State is going to be physical, and you get a good run game. But I guess they don't want to do back-to-back Auburn games.
Yeah, I think that's – and they know they're going to have a lot of Auburn games between the Iron Bowl, Auburn, Georgia, Auburn, Florida, LSU.
I would throw Arkansas, Texas they went Texas A&M last week. Because, you have to do that thing where you hit every school every once in a while. So you might as well throw a rivalry game up every once in a while.
Low-key, if South Carolina didn't lose to North Carolina – they kind of had their act together and Kentucky would have held on that Florida game, this one might would have had an outside shot to get it.
I think we said in the preseason that it did, just from how bad the rest of the slate is.
But how do you think it's going to go, Nick Roush? Because Kentucky has this team's number, and if they put game pressure on South Carolina, I'll say this. I can envision a scenario where Kentucky goes in there and houses South Carolina. If a couple things go right early.
I think it's... If in the first three possessions of offense, they have zero turnovers and one touchdown. They only need one, I think. I don't think they need it. But the big thing is Kentucky should be able to run the football on this team. South Carolina, if it weren't for Vandy, they'd be at the bottom of like every SEC statistical category. Even though SP Plus, they're better than Kentucky on defense. I don't get it.
Here's what they did. Alabama could not really run the ball, but they weren't really trying to run the ball.
Right, they were just throwing it over the yard.
North Carolina ran for over 200-something yards, and then they have a Charleston Southern game, which they won like 18 trillion to nothing.
Yeah.
They had umpteen billion yards of offense, so their stats are a little...
inflated.
Yeah, and then...
they're playing from behind, too, and throwing it all over the yard.
Right. But the last two games, in big games, they said to hell with it and haven't even tried to run the ball.
Yeah. I just think if... Kentucky will be,
but their defensive line is good.
No early turnovers, and you establish the run game. Because it can be so, so good. So good. We've only seen a little bit of it, but they've been bad in short yardage, and it's been in spurts.
They're still getting the chunk plays. They rank in 20-plus yard plays. They're top, I think, 25 in the country, Kentucky is, on offense. They're getting the big plays. It's just...
turning him
into
touchdowns.
Finishing drives.
Finishing it. So it's one of those things where I'm going to be getting confident close to the game. I don't feel great about it now because of law of averages. You know, it just – something feels like that.
Right.
Things just – I don't know. Something doesn't feel right, but I do like at least there's a lot of confidence around the facility and that even if they do lose, there's still a lot of winning football down the stretch. The biggest thing is you can't just have – going into a bye week with a loss sucks.
I will say this. South Carolina, half their games last year, first possession, they went down and scored. Three of the four this year, they scored on their first possession. So they're going to be getting the ball because you know Stoops is going to defer, and I'm pretty sure they're going to receive if they won the toss. Toledo scored on their first possession, but other than that, Kentucky, I think, has stopped everybody. Of course, Felipe Franks' interception.
Felipe.
They got a stop against Mississippi State, who would score a touchdown on their second offensive possession. So that's something to keep – we talked about, you know, getting in a hole early.
Can't get in a hole early. I don't like this team playing from behind.
If they get down, once one possession is fine, but you really can't, this team really can't get behind two scores.
Can't at all.
Right. if you get behind two scores, you have to, then that's when you need, you know, an explosive play to really help you out. But South Carolina is giving up. They rank in the 120s in 20-plus yard gains allowed.
Hmm. A lot of chunk plays.
So Kentucky should get some chunk plays on Saturday.
Man, I'm excited for some chunk plays. I'm excited for this game. I love the road trip to Columbia. I'll be seeing folks down there.
Mm-hmm. And it sets Kentucky up 3-2. You had two upsetting losses. I think people are really pissed off about this Mississippi State loss.
Yeah.
I think it gets people back on board. And then you look at the back half. Really, from here moving forward, I think you need to take care of business at home. So that means beat Arkansas, beat Tennessee, beat Louisville, beat UT Martin.
Beat Missouri is tough.
If you can split the South Carolina-Missouri, just split one of those two. If you get this one, then I think you're playing with house money when Missouri comes to town. Yeah. They're going to have a nationally ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose this one, you're going to have to. Then you're looking at playing Missouri at the week after playing Georgia.
Yeah, that's tough.
And to get to, I mean, then that game could, you know, the season could really, you could slide and get to 6-6 very easy if you don't win one of South Carolina or Missouri. But if you win one of them, you got, I think, a really great chance to get to 8-4. And the way the SEC is setting up, two teams in the playoff is looking very realistic.
So you're in a much better bowl game.
Missouri has a bowl ban. Another team's going to be in the New Year's Six. It could potentially be two teams in the New Year's Six. So you're looking at a situation where
eight win Outback Bowl.
The worst, yeah. You could be looking at a situation where the worst bowl might be, you know, the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, it's a pretty good bowl too.
Right. So there's you know, there's still a lot of ball left to be played in the season. And there's a lot of good things I think can happen, but getting a win on Saturday would be a really good step forward into the bye. You're playing a downtrodden Arkansas team in a couple weeks. And I think it would just be...
Get that momentum back.
Yeah, get the momentum back and then be a 2-2 in the SEC when you go down to Athens.
Yeah, get that sandstorm the hell out of here. Because
right.
The Cats are coming to town. Thanks for listening, y'all. And remember, go Cats, go Kroger.